When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Heather Shaw is Kidding. It's me, Heather Shaw. Happy Wednesday. How are you doing? I hope you're doing well. I hope your week has been going well. I feel like there's hair on my lip. Don't you hate that? When there's just, you know what's the worst is when you find hair in your food. I can't take one more bite. If I find hair in my food, my day is ruined. If you want to ruin my day, put a piece of your pube in my hair. Put the pube in the hair. Ugh. That should have been a Fear Factor challenge. Just eat a bowl of soup filled with pubes. All right, now that we're starting off hot, how are you doing, baby? It's been a fun week for me. I'm doing well. I'm headed to Texas this week. I'm going to be at Fort Worth tomorrow at Hyenas. I'm going to be in Houston this weekend, Friday and Saturday. I'm at the Riot. It's going to be a riot of a time, baby. I'm going to be roasting Texas, which is not hard to do. I've lived there, so I feel a little like I'm allowed to do that. I lived there for a year, so I'm allowed to do that. When I was a kid, I thought it'd be a really cool idea to live in every state for a year, and then I realized that would take me 50 years, and I would have no stability because I'd always have to be moving, like a military kid, but just for 50 years. And some states you'd want to leave after a week. Do you know what I mean? You do 1 week in South Dakota, and you get the gist. But I'm excited to roast Texas. They got that evil governor. Hot Wheels, they call him, because he's in a wheelchair. He was paralyzed by a tree, and now he's evil. And he just rolls around taking away people's rights. It's very fun. I don't know why he's a ruler. I mean, imagine being, no offense, but imagine being told what to do by an evil man in a wheelchair. I would simply roll him into the Gulf of Mexico. And I would say, this is the Gulf of Mexico. It's not the Gulf of America. Goodbye. But I'm excited to get to Texas and then upcoming shows in West Nyack, New York. I'm going back to Texas. I can't stay away. Dallas, Tyler, Baltimore, Long Island, Chicago, New Brunswick, New Jersey, New York City, Bridgeport, Connecticut, St. Louis, Boston, Chicago. Those shows have been added, by the way. So St. Louis, Boston, Napa Valley, Streamfest. I'm headed out to Napa, California, Flagstaff, Phoenix, Arizona, Los Angeles, Bristol, Tennessee. Tickets have been added. I don't know if that was a new addition. I don't think it was. Westchester, PA, Royal Oak, Michigan, Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville. You got to say it like you have a mouthful of balls. Massillon, Ohio, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tickets are all on my website for those shows. And then we're going to be adding the following cities soon. Nashville, Colorado Springs, Batavia, Illinois, Poughkeepsie, New York, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm going to go live with the Waltzes. Wonder what they're doing. Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Columbus, Ohio. And more. Don't forget to rate and review this podcast if you want. I love when you just, you know what the review is. You know what I ask of you. Get in there. Give it 5 stars. Give it 1 star. Be honest. Give it the stars and then just write queef. That's the only way to review this podcast. I don't need to know your actual thoughts. No one does. We're just trying to confuse people when they find this podcast on Apple Podcasts. They look at the reviews and every review says queef. I think that's a very fun, long game. I think that's very funny. In 3 years, we can look back and every review just says queef. That's fun. So get on it. Go to your Apple Podcasts. I don't think you can rate on Spotify, but I don't think you can write anything. That's so gay. And I can say that because I'm gay. That's so faggoty. But on Apple, go in if you're listening on Apple, whatever stars you want to give, and then just put in a queef and submit. We got to get these queef numbers up, guys. We got to be queefing. And your reminder to join the Patreon. The Patreon's always so fun. Patreon.com/HeatherShawComedy. Every single week, there's an extra episode of this podcast where I talk more about personal things going on, stories from my travels. I did go over a lot of pop culture moments on the Patreon. I'm only going to repeat one of them on this, but I try not to repeat any stories. And that was my bad that I talked about it on the last week's Patreon episode. But I talked about my time in Dayton, Kentucky. I talked about Elon and his chainsaw. Won't be talking about it this week. I talked about Justin Bieber on drugs. It's clearly drugs. I should have saved that for the main episode. I'm sorry, but I don't want to repeat content. I think that's shitty to talk about something on the Patreon and then to come on the main and talk about it. So if you want to hear my thoughts on the Justin Bieber clearly on drugs, at no fault of his own, by the way, I don't think I would have to be on drugs too if I saw, you know, Diddy coming at me as a child. You know what I'm saying? Join the Patreon. You can also just buy episodes. All right, we got that shit out of the way. Let's get into the episode, huh? All right, I'm gay. Elon, I'm not going to be talking about Elon's autistic interpretive dance with a chainsaw. We've already talked about that. But I do like this story about how there were video hackers at the, the hub? Some government building. The video screen in the government building, it was the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, so HUD. HUD, not hub. It was the HUD building in Washington, D.C. Their TVs they have on in the building. Usually, I was watching Rachel Maddow. I was watching a clip of Rachel Maddow. I don't watch mainstream news, and it's not because I'm like, ugh, I'm too cool for mainstream news, but like, we're all too cool for mainstream news. Mainstream news is just like, it's everything your parents told you growing up that you later became an adult and you're like, oh, this isn't true. This is not true at all. You know, it's everything your mom and dad told you when you were six that you believed until you were like 20. And then you were like, wait a minute, they're not right at all. That's what mainstream news feels like to me. They're like still trying to sell you things, sell you ideas. And you're like, that's not even the story. What? You know, it's like Luigi. It's Luigi did it. He got arrested and he did it. And that's it. It's just like, girl, dig a little deeper. My God, if only mainstream news would go into therapy, maybe they could discover themselves. But I saw a clip of Rachel Maddow on TikTok and she was talking about it. And she described it as like, if you're in the HUD building, usually these TVs, they have these like large TV displays in a building for the worker, the employees of the building, that usually she'd say they'd put like the lunch menu on. You know, if you're like in a boring corporate office, especially a government building, it's just like bullshit like that, like announcements you'll see on the big screen monitor, the cafeteria menu for the day. Well, hackers took over this. Took over the TV screens and displayed an AI-generated video of Donald Trump kissing Elon's feet with the bold caption, "Long live the real king." It's kinky. It's hot. It gets the HUD employees going. All the HUD employees with foot fetishes, which is probably 95% of them. If you're working in the HUD building, the Housing and Urban Development building for the government, you got a foot fetish. You either got a piss kink or a foot fetish. Why else are you there? I would venture to say that 98% of government employees have either a piss kink or a foot fetish. And that's okay. But man, to see the president kissing the feet of Elon Musk had to make some people hard in that building. Huddy hard, you know what I mean? Very interesting. Very interesting that someone was able to do this. Obviously, the government has been terrorizing government employees. You know the stories. I'm not gonna rehash them all, but Elon sending out those emails saying, "What have you done this week? Tell me five things you've done this week. Must respond by Monday night or you're fired," which is insane. It's not even like, oh, you know, he'll really fire you. It's not even that. It's that there's like 2 million government employees that he sent that out to. And he has like 10 people working for him in the Doge department. So like, and they're all like 20-year-old nerds. So it's like, do you really expect 10 20-year-old nerds to review 2 million emails and like fact check that and see what everybody did? And beyond that, that's a public email address. So people have been emailing that. People have been signing up that email. I think it was like HR at USGov or something. I don't know the email, but it's a very public email address. You can find it anywhere and you can reply to that email or you can send an email and say, "Here's what I did this week, fucker. I farted in the kitchen, in the Keurig machine. I masturbated to a video of Trump kissing your feet. AI generated. I don't care. I work for the government. I have a piss kink and a foot fetish. A PK and FF, baby. I got them both. I came to your AI image of the president kissing your feet, bitch. Anybody can email that address. A lot of people on TikTok were saying they signed up that address for, you know, promotional emails. You know, if you really want to get back at somebody, sign up their email for subscription services, for insurance quotes. It's a really like harmless, you know, way to get back at somebody. In college, I wanted to prank a friend who did nothing wrong to me. I just wanted to prank a friend because I was a maniac in college. And I put a really nice car up on sale on Craigslist for very cheap. And then I just left his number and I let the calls and texts come in. He was very mad and never found out who did it. I'm sure he could tell it was me just giggling in the corner. Who would do that, you know? But it's harmless. It's like, you know, nobody's going to get hurt from receiving a shit ton of spam emails. It's just very annoying. These are the things you can do. I'm on the boat. I wouldn't even want to send an email to that address. I don't need to know. I don't want anybody to know that I'm trying to prank the government. I don't want any part of it. Sometimes when I post videos, even just making fun of, I posted a video on Instagram making fun of the way Elon talks. And I said that Elon talks like a comic bombing at an open mic. When he makes jokes, they never land and it's awkward and he's weird. Even that, I'm like, God, I don't want to be on anybody's radar. I'm not on their radar. They're busy. Elon's doing a lot of ketamine. You know what I mean? But sometimes I'm just like, God, I don't want to be a part of it. HUD spokesman Casey Lovett tells us the stunt was another waste of taxpayer dollars and resources and says everyone involved can expect some serious consequences. Yeah, I mean, I wonder what Trump thinks of that. You know, and the thing is, like, it's AI. So if boomers see this video, they're for sure thinking it's real. And I bet most of the government employees in the HUD building are boomers. You know? So they really thought that was real. Even though Elon clearly has two left feet, which is a perfect little analogy, you know, metaphor, I don't know, symbol. He's got two left feet in the video. Yeah. Let's see. Trump and Musk's bromance has ruffled feathers ever since Donald Trump was inaugurated. Blah, blah, blah. We'll see what happens. James Carville, who is like this bald political analyst, he's been around forever. I remember when he was a kid, he looks the same since I was like born. But he was like, man, this Trump administration, they're going to be completely eviscerated. They're going to be crumbled in 30 days. He thinks in a month, the Trump administration will implode upon itself. He just thinks that there's no way it can continue. Who knows if he's right? I don't know what his average is for predicting the future or anything, but he is a political analyst. It's hard to analyze these kind of politics because there's a lot of unprecedented politics going on. This is not normal. Nothing that's going on. It's hard to predict what could happen. I mean, this is like insane, you know. But it's still fun stuff. I'm still glad that they control Elon and Donald Trump by, you know, putting up AI images for the HUD employees with piss kinks and feet fetish. I still support it. I love it. Ketamine is getting trendy now. It really is on the uptick, which you think it would have taken a nosedive after Matthew Perry died in a jacuzzi off that shit. But ketamine is really amped up. Are the horses okay? Are the horses not getting tranquilized? Because all of the fucked up humans are doing ketamine. All of the worst people are doing ketamine. Not Matthew Perry. Rest in peace to that man. He was a drug addict. But like Elon Musk, he's got to be taking away ketamine from those horses who need to be tranquilized. Is there any left for the horses at this point? It's very trendy. Do you know that story I talked about, Michael Jordan's son? I wish I remember his name. I don't know what Michael Jordan's son name is. Walter Gordon? Gordon Jordan? Maybe it's Gordon Jordan. I'm going to call him Gordon. Remember when I said that he got pulled over and arrested and they found a bag of coke? It wasn't coke. It turns out it was a bag of ketamine. It's like, what? Why does anybody want to be in a K-hole that bad? Is it because the coke is dirty? So you might as well just do fucking horse tranquilizers? I don't know. Ketamine is very trendy right now. It's very interesting. All right. I talked about this on the Patreon episode, so I'm not going to talk too much about it, but I will say that it is fun. Diddler's attorney. He dropped out. Anthony Rico. Perfect name for a defense attorney. Rico, come on. Anthony Rico. He wears a fun hat. He wears a bow tie. He's a black guy in a bow tie, which is just fun. You never see that. You know what I mean? Anthony Rico has dropped out. He said, I can't effectively defend P. Diddy. A lot of people are saying, what has he seen? Because here's the thing. I talked to Lily, my fiance, who's a lawyer. And she said, this guy, if he's signed up for defending the diddler on these charges, these sex trafficking or what the fuck else ever charges, he's done it before. You know, it's not his first rodeo. So it's not like the subject matter of the charges would have turned him off, where he's like a green attorney and would be like, oh my God, I can't take this subject matter. No, he's conditioned. He's done it before. He's very experienced. In fact, he defended Osama bin Laden. Okay, so he defended a literal terrorist that may or may not have done 9/11. I'll let you be the judge. You know, so it's not like he's this, like, you know, naive attorney. I mean, he literally defended Osama bin Laden. Amazing. He defended Osama bin Laden, and then he got to Diddy's case, and he was like, I absolutely cannot do this. This is too much. I need to go to church. This is way too much for me. You know, he defends evil. That's what his job has always been, defending evil. I don't know. Maybe he saw one too many tapes. Maybe he saw too much evidence. Maybe he thought there's no way we're winning this case. I don't know if they really care about winning cases. I think it's nice to attach your name to high profile cases. But in this instance, does it make you look good to defend P. Diddy? No, you're not going to win. And then you always are known as the attorney who defended Diddy. Does he care, though? Because he defended Osama. I don't think he won that case. You know, if you defend O.J. Simpson and O.J. Simpson is found not guilty, that's a huge look. That looks good. Johnny Cochran, motherfucker. Kardashian, Robert. Thanks to that, that's why we got the Kardashians. But I don't know what it was. I would be very interested to know. Everyone on TikTok, the thing that is happening with TikTok that maybe I'm just noticing more is people are just coming up with straight up lies and speaking it as if it's the truth. So they'll hop on. The new lie about this is that there's evidence that proves that Diddy is a necrophiliac, which is where you fuck dead bodies, right? Isn't that, or is that the disease where you fall asleep on people? I always mess them up. Necrophilia. Necromancy. Necrophilia involves a sexual attraction to a dead body. What's the one where you're always falling asleep? Necrotitis? I'm going to look it up right now. Disease where you fall asleep. It's just going to be like cancer? Narcolepsy. They should really change up those words. It's way too close. Imagine being a narcoleptic who has necrophiliac. Is that the word? It's got to be necrophiliac. Yeah. Imagine having narcolepsy, and also I'm a narcoleptic necrophiliac. Imagine that, a narcoleptic necrophiliac. That's going to be the title of this narcoleptic. Sorry, I'm my own producer, by the way. Narcoleptic necrophiliac. Jesus. Imagine you fall asleep on dead bodies mid fucking them. Huh? Oh fuck, I did it again. Hi, grandma. Anyways, that's the new rumor. Somebody hopped on TikTok and said, yeah, the evidence, it shows that Diddy's been fucking dead bodies. And everybody jumped on this as the reason that Anthony Rico dropped from being Diddy's lawyer with 3 months out to trial. I've not seen anything that substantiates these claims. You can literally just hop on TikTok, and if it just sounds believable enough, which it would be with Diddy, you will believe anything with him. I could get on tomorrow and say Armie Hammer, you know, bit my leg off. And I think I could sell it. It's just believable enough. Armie Hammer bit my pinky toe. He took it with him. Yeah, it's just a bunch of lies. People are just, I don't know where they get these fairy tale fantasy lies from, but you can just hop online and then everyone will start to believe it and post their own take on Diddy being a necrophiliac, which has not been substantiated. Believable, sure, but not substantiated. You can't just run with rumors. Running with rumor is what I call exercising with Bruce Willis's daughter. Okay. I did think of another joke today. I thought I love Drag Race, or as I like to call it, America's Next Top Bottom. If I had a Twitter, I would tweet that. But I don't, so it's just going to stay in my head. So the trial is happening in 3 weeks. He's dropped out. He's still officially his lawyer until they find a replacement. But, you know, it's not a good look when Osama bin Laden's attorney is saying, this is too much. I can't do this. So who knows what the real reason is. He doesn't have to give you the real reason because of attorney-client privilege. I'm sure he may come forward with the truth later on if he wants to do an interview. You know, most defense attorneys like attention. Most attorneys like attention. Jesus Christ. You ever see the same fucking prosecutor on Dateline? How is he involved in every fucking murder on Dateline from California to Connecticut? He's really good looking, but he's like the go-to prosecutor. He's not like the prosecutor on the case, but they always just interview him for every case. And it's like, you don't really know the case. You just were like given four bullet points about it and told to sit down and talk to Lester Holt or the producer for Dateline. Do you know who I'm talking about? He's really hot. I think his name's Matt. Dateline detective. We're going to... he's a Dateline prosecutor. His name's Matt. And he's on every fucking... Matt Murphy. He looks like if Tom Brady went into law. You know, he's a good-looking California... he was an Orange County prosecutor. Now he's a... Or he was a senior deputy district homicide unit. But like every fucking Dateline episode, they interview him. And he's like, you know, the thing with murder is it's illegal. And it's like, what are we doing? He's on every... If you know Dateline, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't know Dateline, geez, how do you fall asleep at night? I got to listen to Keith Morrison lull me to sleep. But how? And why? We'll find out coming up next. I love Keith Morrison. That was my stim for a while. I would just walk around my house going, but how and who and why? Keith Morrison could get it. Oh my God. See how that comes full circle? Keith Morrison's stepson is Matthew Perry. Was Matthew Perry. Look how it all comes full circle, baby. Are we in a simulation? Maybe. I got called for jury duty, but they send it to my old address, and the due date on the jury duty notice was January 30th, and I just got it yesterday on the 24th of February, and they're like, oh, failure to reply is a fine or jail time, which is like, please, try to lock me up for not responding to your shitty case. Number two, send it to the right address, bitch. I mean, they sent it to an address two addresses ago for me, so it took a month to get to the right address. So, I've never answered a jury. I mean, I might be indicted for something here, but every time I've gotten a jury duty notice, I just simply throw it in the trash and nothing happens. I think especially now, people aren't working the way they used to. Nobody's going to follow up. And if they do, what's the fine? What is it? $5? Okay. Sorry I didn't sit in your, meth head robbery case. The SAG Awards were this past Sunday, I guess. Does anybody care? I mean, do we even care about the Oscars? I just feel like no one cares. Timothy Chalamet won a SAG Award, which is a Screen Actor Guild Award. I think this is the awards that are voted on by, like, all the actors and producers. Like, everybody that actually is involved in films from top to bottom is part of SAG, and then they nominate. So, like... To win here means like your peers voted for you. I think that's right. I could be wrong, but I'm no awards expert. Who else won? Timothy Chalamet won. This is kind of good for the Oscars, though. Demi Moore from The Substance won. I love that because she's been winning every award show for The Substance, so I'm hoping this means she gets the Oscar. It's the only person I care about getting an Oscar is Demi Moore in The Substance. The Substance was the best film I've seen in 2024. She deserves it. Kieran Culkin has been winning every award for Real Pain, which is really surprising because, like, I thought that was just a dumb movie. What do I know, though? And then I don't really care about anything else. Oh, Colin Farrell won for The Penguin. Oh, the baby reindeer lady won. Baby reindeer. Did you know that There is some tea. The Carla Sofia Gascon. Carla Sofia Gascon. She's in Emilia Perez. I don't know why this is a Netflix film that has been sweeping the awards for some fucking reason. I can't hate watch it. I can't even get into it. I don't really care. It's about trans issues. I didn't know that Carla Sofia Gascon, who is nominated for Best Actress, I guess Best Lead Actress in Emilia Perez, she's trans. I had no idea. But now looking at her, I'm like, okay, I can see it. Like, yeah, there's some, like, she definitely passes a woman, I'm not saying that, but, like, then I saw her speak, listened to her speak, and I was like, oh, yeah. But she's apparently a raging cunt, racist, she's Islamophobic, she's made wild remarks on Twitter and X between 2020 and 2021, she's said some wild things about Black people, Chinese people. She once wrote that Hitler simply had his opinion of the Jews. Imagine being a trans person and tweeting, yeah, Hitler just had his own opinion of Jews. What's the big deal? I didn't know murder was an opinion. Genocide's an opinion? But this goes back to my thing of, like, just because someone is trans doesn't make them a good person. And I think if more people realize this, that would humanize trans people to them. And also, they, like, a lot of transphobic people share the same views as a Carla Sofia Gascon. Like, find a racist transphobic person and be like, look, this trans bitch thinks that Hitler was cool too. You have a lot in common. Trans people are still people. I think this could make people really convert their views from being transphobic to being like trans people. They're just like me. You know, it's kind of like Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner kind of hates gay people, which is so funny to me. This rich Republican trans woman who's like, fuck those gay people. You know, gay people shouldn't be allowed to marry. You know, she's like that. It's so funny. She's a Republican trans person. She doesn't even recognize her own gender. Her party doesn't, you know, it's great. But, like, you know, this could be these kind of people, Carla, Caitlyn Jenner, they could really open up some conservative minds. Because they think all trans people are unlike them and freaks. And it's like, no, look, trans people, they're just like you. This is proof that trans people are people. They're just people. There can be bad trans people. Just like there can be bad white people, there can be good white people. There can be bad Black people, there can be great Black people. There can be bad Asians, there can be great Asians. Filthy, crazy, rich Asians. Love that movie. Never saw it. We got to find an evil little person. Do you think there's an evil little person out there that's just like Nazi saluting left and right from the floor? They never get caught because nobody sees them. They just go behind like a counter and nobody sees the little person doing the Nazi salute. We got to find a bad little person and then everybody will be equal. And then the world can start healing. But it is nice to see awful trans people because I don't know. It's just human condition to think somebody who's a marginalized person can't be a bad person. You'd think. I think the majority of marginalized people are good people. But there are a lot of marginalized people that are not great. That's how you get log cabin Republicans. That's how you get raging queens who love gays for Trump, you know? Somebody send this to, you know, your transphobic relative. Show them that Carla is just like them. All we need now is Dylan Mulvaney to come out and be like, guns aren't the problem, people are. I'm for the NRA. I'm Dylan Mulvaney, and I love the NRA, and I'm NR gay. I don't know. Is Dylan Mulvaney gay? She's trans. It's not the same thing. I think she's into men, but I could be wrong. Did you know that Black people don't fuck with Cynthia Erivo? I did not know this. Again, something I learned on TikTok this week. Black people don't fuck with Cynthia Erivo. Because Cynthia Erivo got on... Now, Cynthia Erivo is... what is she? Elphaba? Elphaba and Wicked? And she's lined up to play Harriet Tubman, an American historical figure. You know, a Black historical figure in America's history. Harriet Tubman. And Black people don't really fuck with her because she came out with a tweet where she said she was like trying to make a joke, and she said that she was kind of mocking the ghetto American. She said in a tweet, she was replying to somebody and she said, parentheses, in a ghetto American accent, baby, you know I got you. I'ma sing it to you, but I still gotta do what I gotta do. You feel me? And scene. So she was mocking ghetto American accents. I guess people would call it ratchet or whatever you want to call it. She's a black British woman. And she was pretending to type out as a, in her words, ghetto American accent. Like a ghetto American woman. And now black people are like, fuck you. Black people don't fuck with her now. I didn't know that. Now she's come out and said it was a joke. But, you know, it is weird to... I don't know. I'm not super offended by that, but I, you know, I'm a white woman. So who the fuck cares what I think about this? I'm not a black person. I shouldn't have an opinion on this, to be honest. As a comedian, no, I don't think it's that egregious. I think that this happens a lot to people on top. You know, you are lifted up. We want you to succeed, and then you succeed, and then people comb through your social media and try to find something that they can point out as that makes you evil, because people just don't want to keep people on the top. They want to, I don't know what it is. They love to build people up and then tear them down. It's kind of the MO of American society, of maybe just global society. But she didn't say anything egregious. I mean, she's not an American woman. She's a British black woman. So she's, you know, her stereotype of the quote unquote ghetto American woman. Yeah, probably could have used better words for that. Could have just said, honestly, she should have flipped it and said in my best bad baby accent, because now she's making fun of white women, and that's fun and that's okay. And I love making fun of white women, you know, and it would be funnier that way, because it is funny that bad baby. I posted a video about bad baby and Alabama Barker's beef. If you want to check that out, go to my Instagram. It's an Instagram exclusive post. But check it out on my Instagram. I broke it down, the beef. But there were a lot of black women in the comments that were so dead spot on. So they said that the issue, because I was making fun of bad baby and Alabama Barker for being these, you know, white women who pretend they're black. And it's just silly. It's hilarious, especially Alabama Barker, who was born a rich kid in California to a famous parent who's now like, actually, I'm black. But a lot of black women in my comments were saying, yeah, they're annoying because they're using the most stereotypical part of black women as their cosplaying. And it's so true, because they're not just like, no, I'm a black woman. It's like, nah, I'm a black woman. Fuck that shit. You know, it's just like that stereotypical... negative stereotypical reputation that black women get, that they're cosplaying as. And it's like, you know, it's just silly. It's very funny that they do that. But it's Cynthia Erivo. She should have said in my best bad baby accent, because that way she's making fun of a white woman pretending to be black and nobody gets offended and it's fine. But when you know, you come for other black women, it's not a good look. But I didn't know that. Now you know. The black women and the black people don't fuck with Cynthia Erivo. I think she lost an award to Kiki Palmer at the NAACP Awards, and that's how I found out on TikTok. Interesting stuff, in case you care. All right, let's get into our ad reads. You know, we got one ad read. That's it. Lucy Brown. You know them. You love them. I love their coffee. I don't know what else to say about their coffee. It's delicious. It comes on time every fucking month. Every single month. I'm not going to swear in this ad read. We don't need that. This is Trump's America. No swearing and no gayness. I love Lucy Brown Coffee. It's locally owned. It's a small, locally owned. What does that mean? It's not Amazon. It's a queer owned small business. If you want to support a queer owned small business, especially in the year 2025, get a coffee subscription to Lucy Brown Coffee. It is delicious. Every single month, Lucy Brown ships you a new bag of coffee, whether you like coffee beans ground or whole. I like them whole because I can grind them in the morning and it seems fresher to me. They'll ship you a new bag from a different roaster every single month. So you can try different coffee of your preference. If you like medium roast, get some medium roast. If you like dark roast, get some dark. If you like light, they'll send you light. They're not just going to send you whatever. They send you a preference. different roasters every single month. I've not gotten a repeat roaster once, and I've had this coffee subscription for more than a year. It's more than 12 shipments, never repeated. I highly recommend this coffee subscription. It's so good. It's so fun. And it's really affordable. I mean, you'll spend more on coffee in the store. All you got to do is fill out their form on their website, and then you'll get the coffee bean sent straight to your door while you're still in your underwear. Come on. And it's all just starting at $20 a month. That's nothing. All you got to do is visit lucybrowncoffee.com. That's L-U-S-S-I, browncoffee.com. Follow the coffee subscription button to get signed up today. And listen to this. If you use the code Heather Shaw is kidding, you'll get 10% off your first order. That's a great deal. Check out Lucy Brown. Support this queer-owned small business. We love them so much. And if you're in Lexington, Kentucky, stop by their coffee shop. It's fucking fantastic. I know I said I wasn't going to swear, but it is fucking fantastic. We love you, Lucy Brown. Thanks for sponsoring this podcast. Check them out. That's L-U-S-S-I, browncoffee.com.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield, N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima, and there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.
Well, Michael Lowen is back in the news. Michael Lowen is, this is going to be some quick news, by the way. These will be some little hits in the pop culture stratosphere. Michael Lowen, you know him, you hate him. He is Lindsay Lohan's father, the man who has... the man who is to blame for all of Lindsay Lohan's issues. Because she used to be... I'm so happy that Lindsay Lohan's alive. That's the thing. I really thought that Lindsay Lohan would be, like, not like an Anna Nicole Smith, but like another star that, you know, shit just went haywire and addiction and what the fuck else ever. Now, there's been stories that Lindsay Lohan's been an escort lady, an escort girl, a yacht girl out in Greece, out in Dubai. Who the fuck knows what Lindsay Lohan does? I don't care. She seems healthy. I mean, when she did the press tour for her Christmas movies, because that's what Lindsay Lohan does now. She's like the groundhog, but just for Christmas. She's like the Mariah Carey of movies. Every year she comes out with a new Christmas movie. I swear, remember this past Christmas, Lily and I just watched all of Lindsay Lohan's Christmas movies. I mean, we spent a whole day doing it. It's all she does now, and I kind of love it for her. She just comes out, makes a really corny Christmas movie, and then she goes back into hiding for a year. It's fucking great. It's just enough to probably support her financially. And I think she has a kid and she's married to a man. But she doesn't seem fucked up. Or if she is, not around Christmas time, she's working. But, you know, there's a lot to blame on her parents. She had a lot of issues. I'm glad that it seems to be cleared up. Who knows if that's the case? But we don't really know anything about Lindsay now. She does look amazing. But, you know, her parents are the people to blame. Dina Lohan, who was like the Kris Jenner without the business acumen. You know, Kris Jenner has a great business mind. She's a great manager. Dina Lohan, you know, she just likes wine and cocaine and was trying to manage her daughter's careers. And it was like, you're not good at this. You just want to get fucked up. And then Michael Lohan, who's like grimy. Well, Michael Lohan is facing more consequences after his arrest for allegedly assaulting his estranged wife, Kate Major, who looks way younger than him. On Monday, the judge signed an emergency protective order, which requires Lindsay's dad. I love that they don't even, oh, well, they don't even refer him to Michael. Lindsay's dad. The docs say Michael can't go anywhere within 200 feet of her place of employment, which is probably like a tanning salon. I don't know where this woman works. A Radio Shack? A Subway? Who knows? She maybe is in the leasing office of like a luxury apartment company. Police say Michael showed up Friday to the parking lot of a building in Harris County, Texas, where Kate was getting a mammogram. I never had one of those. My doctor can just look at me with my clothes off and see if there's any lumps. She can literally just look across the room and go, you're good. Where Kate was getting a mammogram. Cops say Kate spotted Michael, called the police out of fear he was following her. God, what a loser. Do you not have anything else to do all day than obsess over someone? I don't get it. Let it go. Go get some food. Go pick up some cocaine. Do something. Stop following people around. God, she's kind of rough to look at. But, I mean, she has to fuck, you know, Michael Lowen. Kate is an alcoholic. Okay, Michael's attorney, Andino Reynal. That's a real Texas attorney right there. Fired back at the accusations, telling TMZ that Kate is an alcoholic with a criminal record, which includes many confirmed DUI arrests and at least 3 DUI convictions. Jesus Christ. 3 DUI convictions. You know, good for her for getting her boobs checked as an alcoholic. When I was an alcoholic, I never did anything, especially when it came to healthcare. Fuck that. Michael had tried to help Kate give up alcohol for her own good and for the good of their 2 young children. They have children? Oh, God, this story keeps getting worse. Jesus, you got to look at this picture of Michael Lowen. He is so New Jersey. Aren't they from New Jersey? Where was she born? She's so New Jersey. Or is it Long Island? Is Lindsay Lohan from Long Island? Because she's Long Island through and through. And Michael Lowen is so Long Island. I love Long Island, but I can tell. I can tell when somebody's Long Island on the LIE. Yeah, raised, born in New York City, born in the Bronx. Lindsay was born in the Bronx, but raised on Long Island. And that makes so much sense. I'm looking at this picture of Michael. I mean, he's in like this like Jersey Shore tank top with a backwards hat. Oh, God. And his girlfriend. Oh, God. She looks like she has a fun personality. I'll give her that. I'd have to be boozed up too to suck his dick once a year. You kidding me? What a depressing situation. I don't think he's in, I doubt he's in Lindsay's life. He seems really gross. It sucks when your dad's gross like that, I'm sure. Where's Dina Lohan? Let's look her up. Sorry, that was a mouth queef. What's Dina Lohan doing? What did Lindsay Lohan's mother do? What? In 2021, she was sentenced to 18 days behind bars after pleading guilty to felony drunk driving. These people are so Long Island. Get the far away, Lindsay. I'm so glad. Lindsay lives in like Greece. Where does Lindsay Lohan live? Let's look that up. Where does Lindsay, take your guess right now. I'm saying Greece, live. Or is she in Dubai? Lindsay Lohan has lived in Dubai since 2016. Woo! I'm so happy for Lindsay Lohan getting the fuck out of Long Island, leaving her parents behind, saying good luck with your alcoholic fucking issues. Have fun fucking your alcoholic wife and then stalking her. Good luck with your felony DUIs, Mom. I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm going to Dubai. Wow, good for her. And she's got a multimillionaire husband. Good for her. Lindsay Lohan, everybody. She made it. If that's not Mama, I Made It energy, good for Lindsay Lohan getting the fuck out. And she's out of America. She doesn't have to deal with any of the shit. She has a son. Oh my God. I'm so happy for Lindsay Lohan. And her husband's not like a gross 80-year-old. Her husband is 1 year younger than her and cute. Good job, Lindsay. Good job. No wonder you come back to just to throw us some fucking treats. Every Christmas she goes, here, pigs, eat the slop. Here's my Christmas movie. Eat it up, bitches. I got to go back to Dubai. I love Lindsay Lohan. It was real touch and go with her because she was kind of cunty when she was young. But who isn't when they're a rich 20-year-old? You know what I mean? I mean, you're going to be a cunt when you hang out with Paris Hilton every weekend doing blow. She was a real kind of cunty person, but again, in her 20s, have a lot of addiction issues because her parents suck ass. Good for her. I'm so hyped on that. Good for her, Lindsay. And she looks fucking good. I'm so happy for her. Wow. All right, in other news, Shangela, a famous drag race superstar from RuPaul's Drag Race. Again, I'm going to say that joke again. I love RuPaul's Drag Race, or as I call it, America's Next Top Bottom. Okay, Shangela is being hit with more allegations of sexual assault. Now, Shangela was in this HBO show called We Are Here, which was like really inspirational and kind of insane. I think the first season was much better. I think it was like with Bob the drag queen, Shangela, and somebody else. But it would take these drag superstars, these drag queens, and put them in like, you know, mostly rural areas of America where there's a lot of homophobia still, a lot of closed-mindedness, a lot of conservativeness, and kind of introduce drag to the community through other gay people that live in that community. So they would like take a gay guy who's, you know, can't be super comfortable in the town that he lives in. You know, not every gay person can leave their small town and go to New York City and be a faggot. You know what I mean? That's just not, some people just can't afford that, or just have something holding them back to their hometown, or like they just don't have the privilege to do any of that. So you've got to be gay in your small hometown. And it was really inspirational. They'd find these either gay people or gay allies, somebody who has a gay daughter or whatever, and they would do drag with these people. And it was a really good show, and Shangela was part of it. And that's the toughest part of this. I mean, it's because it's like, you know, at the end of the day, drag queens are men. I mean, what, a man sexually assaulted somebody? Color me shocked. But it sucks when it's a gay man drag queen. It really does. On Monday, February 24th, Eric Poff, who, you know, if you wanted to be mean, you'd call him Eric Poof, who goes by his adult film name Dakota Payne. So he's, you know, a gay guy porn star, which, good for him. Eric Poof is a better porn star name, though. He came forward with an incident that he had consumed one or two drinks at the bar with Shangela. He believes he was spiked. He has no memory of the events between consuming the drink and becoming semi-conscious in a hotel room. When in the hotel room, Puff allegedly woke up to find himself bent over a bed being anally penetrated without consent by an unknown man, with Shangela watching from the corner of the room. Gross. Shangela then anally penetrated the plaintiff without his consent. Yeesh. And because of his semi-conscious state, his lawyers wrote that he was obviously unable to consent to any sexual activity. Jesus Christ. Who allegedly proceeded to send Puff money. Jesus. My God. And then getting paid off. Like, don't tell anybody about this. Here's $500. It's really dark, and Shangela has had these allegations before. It's just really, and also like Shangela looks like she's like 5 feet tall. It's always the little ones you got to watch out for. Is Shangela the evil little person we've been waiting for? Maybe so. It's always false and unsupported by any evidence. That's what always happens when somebody, you know how you can tell somebody is guilty of, especially men, when they've been accused of sexual crimes. And you know how you can tell they're guilty? Because they always go, these allegations are unequivocally false. They love that phrase. People who rape love to say, these allegations are unequivocally false. It's like they all learn that vocabulary and just use it. Unequivocally false. Is it? Is it really? Yeah, Shangela has a lot of... Oh no. Days before the outlet released its report in 2024, a lawsuit in which a former Drag Race production assistant named Daniel McGargle accused Shangela of rape and gender violence was dismissed with prejudice, according to documents. McGargle, his real name's McGarrigle, sorry, also previously alleged Shangela had raped him while they both appeared on HBO's We're Here. Jesus Christ, Shangela. What a really evil person. Yikes. Now, I don't think this picture they're using is of Shangela. Maybe it is. Shangela's real name is Shantae's Darius Jeremy Pierce. Yikes. That's really upsetting. Don't forget to keep watching Drag Race, though. It's very fun. This season kind of sucks, but Kelly Mantle is very funny, and she, if you know Drag Race, you know there's Susie, too, and the funniest thing that came out of this season's Drag Race is Kelly Mantle on a podcast saying, what's her name? Tootsie Scooter? Yikes, yikes, yikes. All right, the last thing I wanted to talk about is nepotism, baby. Nepotism. Patrick Schwarzenegger. Hard name there. It's a hard name. Without the Schwartz, it's really a hard name. Patrick Schwarzenegger denies speculation he only got White Lotus role because of his famous parents. Now, his parents are, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver. You know, this is silly. He says, I know there are people who will say I only got this role because of who my dad is. Bitch, your mom too. Don't underplay her. She's Maria fucking Shriver. So already the patriarchy is showing. What do you mean because of who your dad is? How about who your parents are, bitch? It's not like your mom's a complete unknown. What is she? Timothy Chalamet as Bob Dylan? Bitch, please. I know there are people who will say I only got this role because of who my dad is, Patrick told the Sunday Times. They're not seeing that I've had 10 years of acting classes, put on high school plays every week, worked on my characters for hours on end, or the hundreds of rejected auditions I've been on. He added, of course it's frustrating and you can get boxed in and you think at the moment, I wish I didn't have my last name, but that's a small moment. I would never trade my life with anyone. No shit, Sherlock. I'm very fortunate to have the life and family that I have, the parents I have, and the lessons and values they've instilled in me. Okay. Now, he is absolutely right. He's put in the work. He's done 10 years of acting classes. That's a lot. You try to sit through 1 hour of an acting class and take yourself seriously. I mean, I can't do it. These actors are amazing. If I sat through a minute of acting class, I would just start calling everybody faggots. Sure. You put in the work, Patrick. That's how you booked White Lotus. They weren't like, we got to get Arnold's kid in here. No, I'm sure he had a great audition. People need to remember that criticizing someone for being a nepo baby or criticizing someone for nepotism is never due to talent. Okay? It's not that we're saying you don't have the talent to be on White Lotus because your parents are famous. That's not the criticism behind nepotism. The criticism is that you are being offered connections, auditions, relationships with bigwigs. You're being put in front of eyes. You're being put in rooms with people that a person, a normal person who just wants to be an actor, will never be in those rooms. You are given opportunities that normal people will never be given. That's the issue with nepotism. It really isn't about talent because there's a lot of talented nepo babies. There really are, and that's great. I'm so glad that there's talented nepo babies or else it'd be real awkward and weird. But like, you can't deny the fact that you're going to get to the front of the line because you're Arnold's kid or because Arnold knows his producer or owes something or Maria Shriver has worked on NBC News or what the fuck else she's done. And she knows this person who's going to get you an audition and going to get you seen. And also you can buy the best acting classes. And also you can afford to not work. And you don't have to be a server during the day and then go on these auditions where you're just another fucking number that day for auditioning. Are people even auditioning in person anymore? The critique is not talent. The critique is that you have opportunities that normal people will never, ever have. You have connections that'll get you seen. And if you've got the talent to back it up, then you're cutting everybody in line. And sometimes when you don't have the talent to back it up, you're going to cut everybody in line. I mean, I think that's a big criticism with like Kendall Jenner being a model. Or there's somebody else who's is a famous kid and is modeling and is like awful. I don't know the modeling world, but I know that people have been critiquing how she walks. I think it's a woman, a girl, whatever. But, you know, you're getting these opportunities because of who your parents know. And then, I mean, again, that's fine. Look, the industry is like 95, 96% nepotism. Very few people become successful on their own. I would say the majority of people you're seeing in movies and TV shows, they know somebody who knows somebody. I mean, I was talking to my therapist today and she was talking about SNL. And she said how much she loves Jane Wickline. And I was like, yeah, she's very funny. And then she said, but do you know, I think her dad, and I'm like, yeah, she's a nepo baby. I mean, everybody you see on TV, I guarantee you almost everybody you're seeing on TV is a nepo baby or has connections through one way or another. Some people are talented, some people are not, but that's just the reality of the industry. And who knows, that might be the reality of the world. Maybe, you know, all those big wigs at law firms, or maybe, I don't know about doctors so much, but nepotism is kind of the bloodline of America, and maybe globally too, I don't know. But it's never a critique on Patrick Schwarzenegger's not talented enough. It's always, dude, you got this role because your parents made one call to the producer and they were like, oh yeah, let's have lunch with him. That's it. And then we'll just get him to send in a tape, make sure he can read, make sure he's not illiterate, and he'll get the role, sure. But I mean, it is good that he's done acting classes. I love that he also says, I've also put on high school plays every week. Okay, bitch, what do you want? A fucking cookie? But it does seem like he's worked hard. It certainly seems like he didn't just show up and go, I'm an actor now. Is he the one that Taylor Swift was making out with when he was a minor? Who was that? Was it him? Taylor Swift. Isn't Maria Shriver a Kennedy kid? Taylor Swift. Oh, Connor Kennedy, the son of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Okay. It wasn't Patrick Schwarzenegger. I don't know why I thought Patrick Schwarzenegger. But how old was Taylor dated Connor Kennedy when he was 17 and she was 23? Yuck. Even if that was a fake bullshit thing. Yuck. She was signing him out of school. Cause baby, now we got bad blood. That movie is about, that song is about AIDS. Okay. I'm going to wrap it up on that. Narcoleptic necrophiliac. Huh? Don't be one of those. I've been watching a lot of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, by the way, and I feel shaw-mazing. No spoilers, please. I mean, I know what happens with Jen Shaw. I'm not living under a rock here, but I just started season two, and they've teased it, but like now we're going back a few months before the arrest. So I'm very into Jen Shaw. I don't adore Jen Shaw. I think she's kind of evil, but hey, evil makes great TV. Upcoming shows, I'm in Fort Worth, Texas this Thursday at Hyenas. I'm in Houston, Texas this weekend. Friday and Saturday, I'm at the Riot. Please get tickets. Come out. It's a fun fucking show. You're going to have fun. If you like goofy and dark humor, you're going to love me. I'm not clean. West Nyack, New York. Dallas, Texas. Tyler, Texas. Baltimore, Maryland. Long Island. Chicago. New Brunswick, New Jersey. New York City, Bridgeport, Connecticut, St. Louis, Boston, Napa, California for the Napa Valley Stream Fest, Flagstaff, Phoenix, Los Angeles, Bristol, Westchester, Royal Oak, Louisville, Massillon, Fort Wayne, Tulsa. Upcoming shows in Nashville, Colorado Springs, Batavia, Illinois, Poughkeepsie, Minneapolis, Eau Claire, Columbus, and more. All tickets are at heathershawcomedy.com. Get tickets. Come to a show. You're going to have fun, bitch. Rate and review this podcast with one simple word, coef. And join the Patreon. I'm telling you, if you enjoy listening to my voice for an hour a week, why not make it 2 hours a week? Get a bonus episode of this podcast every single week delivered right to your ears. Patreon.com/HeatherShawComedy, all starting at as low as $3 a month. Every tier gets you the same access, which is a bonus episode and access to the chat. We have a group chat on the Patreon. But yeah, every tier gets you the same access. It's just how much you want to sponsor a gay per month. Starts at $3, goes up to $20. You pick your poison. I don't really care. I love my Patreon members so much. I think you'd love it too. If you enjoy listening to this podcast weekly, then you got to be a queef, an honorary queef, and become a Patreon member. I love you so much. I hope we have a fantastic rest of the week. Stay gay. See ya.
I was running until I wasn't. My hospital stay would have cost nearly $48,000, even with insurance. But with VA, I'll pay zero. And VA is the best, most affordable healthcare in America for veterans like me. Knowing that my family is waiting at home and a surprise medical bill isn't, that's good for my heart. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.